Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
It started with two women. And, well, today, it's still two women. But not just any women. It's Laurie and Lynn.
Who can turn the world on with a smile.
Laurie and Lynn, giving Northeast Pennsylvania local talk to start your weekend right.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
And now, celebrating their 10th year on the air on WILK News Radio. Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Love is all, no need to waste it. You can have a town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Good morning. My name is Lynn Evans. I am one half the dynamic duo of Laurie and Lynn. And Laurie is away this week on some really wonderful vacation time. So you're just going to have to listen to me for the whole time. I hope that's okay. We're going to start off with our guest expert, who is the one that would normally be here every second
Saturday.
That would be Attorney Barbara O'Hara. And Attorney O'Hara is a principal, I guess you'd say, a partner in the firm of, I'm going to get this right, Hughes, Nichols, and O'Hara.
Perfect.
Yay!
Perfect.
I did it right.
Thank you very much.
And I also wanted to let everybody know that the American Institute of Family Law Attorneys has recognized the exceptional performance of family law attorney Barbara J. O'Hara as 2019 10 Best Family Law Attorney for Client Satisfaction.
Thank you.
The American Institute of Family Law Attorneys is a third-party attorney rating organization that publishes an annual list of the top 10 family law attorneys in each state. Attorneys who are selected to the 10 best list must pass AIOFLA's rigorous selection process, which is based on client and or peer nominations through research and independent evaluation. That's really nice, Barbara.
Thank you very much.
That's
nice.
Really wonderful. That says a lot. That says about your peers and your clients.
I'm happy to see that I'm keeping people somewhat satisfied.
Yes.
It's a difficult area of the law for client
sure
satisfaction
is.
Because people, it's such an emotional area.
Yeah.
So I was happy to get that recognition.
That's really
Thank
wonderful.
You very much. And thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. I said, that's just such a cool thing. I have to make sure we let our listeners know that we are in the presence of royalty.
No.
Yeah.
I'm happy to get the designation, and thank you very much, Lynn.
So what are we going to talk about today?
What we're going to talk about is how to keep from losing everything in a divorce.
Whoa, that's a good one. I like that.
Lynn always likes the financial topics.
I do.
Because of her expertise.
Yes.
And usually when I meet with people, they come in very scared of what am I going to lose.
Yeah.
And there's very few things that happen in life, big life events that will alter everything like a divorce will.
Yeah.
Particularly if you've been married and have children and you have to worry about my assets and where will I live and how much money will I have to live on and who will I be living with? All of those very, very important questions.
Yep.
So unlike many other things in life, this really changes everything.
It does.
So people come to me and ask me, like, okay, tell me what I'm going to have to pay my spouse. Tell me what I'm going to have to pay in child support. And am I going to lose everything?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it certainly is a big topic.
It is.
So going through this, I did find an article. And a lot of these are very good ideas. Number one is identify all of your assets and clarify what's marital and what's non-marital. So Pennsylvania in the statute says things are presumed to be marital if they're acquired from the date that you get married to the date that you separate. Separation could be the physical separation of you start living in different places, could be the filing of the divorce. It could be when you genuinely live separate lives, even if it's under the same roof. And when I mean separate lives, you're not going to the kids' game together. You're not doing the holidays together. You genuinely are living separate lives. If you're going to the kids' game, you take separate cars. You don't do that half and half. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in most cases, it's physical separation or when the divorce is filed.
Okay.
To give that line in the sand. So most of my clients that come in say, I don't know what we have. So it's always important to know. It's important to go through the papers that are on the dining room table or in a file cabinet because, you know, do you know if your spouse has a pension, retirement, 401k, Roth IRAs, IRAs, all of those things that will become very, very important in your divorce. And many, many people in their relationships have one bookkeeper spouse that knows all these things, and then they have the other spouse that may not be as well informed or informed at all.
Yeah.
Okay? So I always tell my clients, go and find that out.
And how do they do that, though?
Well, okay, if your other spouse is a paper person and gets things in the mail, then you can go and find them out. If the other spouse is a no paper person and you need a password to go into the computer or the statements, whatever, then you need to do discovery. And what I mean by discovery is you file against the other side to produce their pension statements, their IRA statements, their thrift savings plan statements, things like that.
So it still doesn't get you access to them.
Not
you don't get the passwords, right? But you can get the statements.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So you get the statements. And if they were the kind of people to take out withdrawals or loans against that 401k, then I want the history of them.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's only $30,000. Well, it used to be 100 and you took out 70.
Yeah.
In anticipation of the divorce. So you need to know what's the history, particularly if there's been any withdrawals or loans.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a big dichotomy between the paper people and the electronic statements, and many, many people. Or I get, my husband gets everything at the office. I don't know anything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you have that issue too. Secondly, and it dovetails into that, is get copies of all your financial information. So we've already covered that. Three is to secure some liquid assets. Okay. So even if your spouse says, okay, fine, I'm leaving you, and he or she, being the higher compensated spouse, moves out, you're going to need some money. Even if you file for spousal support and child support that day, it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to get to a hearing and maybe a month to come up with a garnishment where you're getting paid through his employment. So I always tell my clients, you're going to need probably some kind of funds for 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
And they look horrified at you and say, how am I going to do that? Well, in some cases, there is a bank account where there's availability, there's liquidity. In other cases, they might need to rely on family members to come up with that because you don't want to be destitute for that period of time. In the worst case scenario, you might need to apply for some kind of you know, food stamps or things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, government programs that I'm not necessarily talking about cash welfare because if you're on cash welfare, then what will happen is if your cash welfare is higher than your support order, then the support office takes your support order. If it's the other way, you'll go off the cash welfare and just start collecting on your support order. Okay. But
Barbara,
if you need to, you do it.
What about the people that say, and these are real divorce situations that I've been involved with clients, and they say, my attorney told me to just go in and wipe out the checking account.
Okay.
So what do you do with that?
I give different advice for checking and savings.
Okay. Yes.
So for checking account, you don't want all of your outstanding checks to bounce.
Right.
So what I do tell people is, okay, what's outstanding? The last thing you want is a $30 fee on every check or every direct deposit that's coming out of there. So leave sufficient funds in a checking account to cover the outstanding checks.
Now, if you are the lower earning spouse or you're not the bookkeeper spouse, I just think of the way I have things set up myself is that there's a lot of stuff that just automatically is right. set up to come out.
Okay.
So if I'm not the one who knows that, then how do I take out the amount I want without getting the $30 overdraft charges because I didn't know?
Quite honestly, if you know nothing, then number one, you can always go back in your bank records to see what are the automatic withdrawals.
True.
Okay?
Okay.
You can go to your bank. Even if you don't have the statements in hand now, you go back to your bank. Your bank gives you your monthly statements. You can see what those withdrawals are.
Okay.
You can also see, you can't see the outstanding checks. Okay. But if you see a pattern of the first of the month, our mortgage comes out all the time, mm-hmm. then you know what? You don't want to not pay your mortgage. You don't want to have all these bounce checks. So leave in there a reasonable amount to cover the outstanding checks and what the monthly withdrawals are. Savings accounts are easier because there's not withdrawals and there's not monthly withdrawals and there's not outstanding checks. So can I justify you taking out half of that? Of course I can.
Okay.
Okay. And in some cases, if there are a lot of other assets and you know you're going to be without support for a couple months because he's already told you, I'm giving you nothing.
Yes.
Then, you know, I can justify you taking out that savings account.
Okay.
Okay. in some cases, you do have a spouse that does continue to give support. Even though you're separated, he's still paying the utilities and he's still paying the mortgage and things like that. Obviously, you do have other expenses. So what I always do is run through with a client, what is he paying without a support order? And what would he be ordered to pay? If mm-hmm. he is paying a higher amount of money without the support order, then don't file for support so that it doesn't get cut down. Okay?
Duh.
So, you know what, though? A lot of people rush to file and say, oh, you know, I'm going to do this. But if the amount of money, you know, let's say he's paying you $1,500 by paying the mortgage and paying all these utilities and things like that, and he's giving you $500 a week, and they'll say, he's giving me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, no, he isn't. Okay, what third-party payments is he making on your behalf? And if there's any other money, he pays for your car. He pays for your car insurance. You have to add all those things in
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, fine. Without a court order, you're getting $2,000.
Yeah.
The court would give you $1,500. Don't be foolish. Do the 2000.
Exactly.
File when those payments stop. Okay? Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, they do usually stop because he goes out and gets an apartment.
And now he can't afford it.
Now his money is going elsewhere and he can't afford it. And so mm-hmm. the car payment stops and the car insurance stops mm-hmm. and things like that.
Okay.
Number four is know your state law. And always, always, always get the advice of a good family law attorney. Not just any attorney, but one that really knows the law in your state. So it's not just, you know,
the guy who did the closing on your real estate.
Yeah, the guy who did the closing on your real estate may be a fabulous real estate attorney.
Right.
But if he doesn't practice in this area, he will not have the knowledge of family law that you really need.
Right.
Okay, so you should go to somebody experienced. And five is to build a team. So you know what, you're going to need good legal advice. You're going to need accounting advice. You're going to have to maybe sit down and say, wow, I can't really afford to keep the house. What do I want to do? Well, let's get a realtor involved, see what your house is worth for an appraisal, or see if you should list it and what the amount that you should list it for. You know, you're going to need to rely on some expertise. And these are all the assets you have in the world. You should get good people to come up and be able to give you good advice.
Yes.
Number six, decide what you want and what you need. Now, this is one thing that I sit down with a new client, because a lot of people will come in and say, hey, I want, get me my house and my kids. And I always ask them, can you afford the house? And they say, oh, sure, I can afford the house. And you said, no, wait a minute. What you're going to have to do is buy out your spouse's equity, refinance his house, and then pay your new mortgage, pay real estate taxes, homeowners insurance, all the utilities, some maintenance. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy who cuts your lawn in the all summer needs to get paid, all of those things. And then you get that look of, startle, where they say, wow, this will be expensive to keep my house. I ran into a client years later after I did her divorce, and she was very adamant that she wanted to keep the house. And she was working a second job. And she said to me, I found out that I was never in the house that I wanted to keep because I couldn't afford it. And I was working a second job just to do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I think you have to take a good hard look and say, what can I afford to do? And what would be a good idea for me to do? It's not just, of course, I want to keep my house. Well, look at it as what can you afford to do? And not just the sentimentality of let's keep the house.
Okay, so we'll have to stop there. Which, how many more are there?
I'm done.
I'm
done.
All right.
I talked quickly.
That's wonderful. Okay. So thank you, Barbara. Thanks for being here. Thanks for that information, because I think a lot of people would really like to know about how do I do this and can I do it? And they hold back because they just are afraid. They don't want to know. So anyway, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
My office is located in Dunmore at 1421 East Drinker Street. I can be reached at 570-344-7171. I practice in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Susquehanna, Wayne, Wyoming, and now Pike.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
you so much. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. We'll be right back with more if you're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show.
Hi, this is Nancy Kamen from WILK's Morning News with Webster and Nancy. And I know Laurie Cadden. A lot of people know Laurie Cadden. And more importantly, Laurie Cadden knows a lot of people. Laurie Cadden Enterprises specializes in fundraising, public relations, and special events. Laurie Cadden can take your business or organization to the next level. This isn't something that you learn about in a book. Heck, it can't even be taught. Laurie Cadden lives it. She knows how to work a crowd, open doors, and build and nurture relationships. With Laurie Cadden Enterprises, you get, ta-da, Laurie Cadden and her 20-plus years of experience. Call Laurie today at 357-8399, 357-8399, or email Laurie, Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at lauriecadden.com, L-A-U-R-I-E-C-A-D-D-E-N.com. Laurie Cadden Enterprises, because it is who you know.
Do you have a support, custody, or divorce case in Northeastern Pennsylvania? Call Barbara J. O'Hara, an attorney with 31 years of experience in divorce, custody, and support cases. You need an attorney who is experienced in family law cases, not a general practitioner. Call Barbara J. O'Hara at 570-344-7171. This may be your first divorce, but it shouldn't be your attorney's. You need experience on your side. Call Barbara J. O'Hara at 570-344-7171.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Good morning, everybody. We're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And with us in this section is a friend who has graciously agreed to be a part of this, and her name is Sylvia LaFair. Sylvia is a PhD, and she's president of Creative Energy Options, which is a global consulting firm, and she's been named in the top 30 global leadership gurus of 2016, 17, 18, and 19. Her focus on people skills takes her to companies such as Novartis, McGraw-Hill, and Microsoft, as well as family firms and entrepreneurial businesses. She's also the author of two books that I know about, Don't Bring It to Work, and Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change. Oh, and I forgot the third one, Sylvia. Unique, How Story Sparks Diversity, Inclusion, and Engagement. Welcome. It's nice to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here, and it's great to just be with you. So, old friends, you're right.
Thanks. It's really good to just reconnect here. But I have to, I told you that I was just so thinking of you. There's probably a better way to say that, but when Hillary Clinton and her daughter Chelsea came out in the last week or so with their new book, Gutsy, and then there's something after it, I immediately thought of you because I knew that you wrote a book a couple years ago that was called Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change. And so I'm going to give you equal time, and I think that that's what you need here. Instead of all the publicity about the Clintons, let's talk about the publicity for Sylvia LaFair and her book, Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change, which I am sure is available on Amazon and other spots. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
It was written in 2012, so
okay.
You know, it's probably ready for an upgrade too, but it's good to hear the word gutsy out there, no matter who's saying it. It's a very important word for women.
Yeah, tell me about what that means to you.
Well, it's interesting. As I was researching to write the book, I couldn't do it till I got the right word. And the minute gutsy came into my mind, I went, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I have found is that actually being gutsy is good for your health.
Yes.
Let me tell you, Lynn, what I mean. I mean that literally. And we grew up and we're in the process of making changes. And, you know, the younger people will probably make them quicker. You know, the ones who are teens and maybe even the millennials. But we all have to become more gutsy. And when I say it's good for your health, this is what I mean. How many, think about it, if you were raised to be the good girl, the good wife, the good employee, even the good boss, but the word good that stays in there means shrink back, you know,
yes.
Be quiet,
yes.
Be appropriate. You know, it's, I call it the don't see, don't say, just smile and agree.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in the process of breaking out of that mold. So when I say it's good for your health, I mean it's because when we know we're bigger than just being, quote, good, we shrink inside.
Yeah.
And then we start to get frustrated, and then we get angry, and then we get depressed, and we know that depression and anger and, you know, if we get angry, we're looked at like, oh, be quiet and behave. So it's good for your health. It'll keep the stress down and keep your health up.
I think most of the gutsy women I know are much healthier than those who aren't.
Well, exactly. That's
yeah.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know, we have to learn how to speak out or watch those who speak out. Because we're at a place where I think we really need to really love what we do, be paid what we're worth. And
yeah.
that equality still isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can stand out, we can be seen. Bigger than that, we can make the difference we're here to make.
You know, I was thinking about the title of your book, and something struck me that I'd love to talk to you about. It's Women Leaders Make Change. There's an assumption there that a woman who is a leader has handled all this gutsiness. And I know that that's not true. So how do we approach women who are, we would call leaders, and find out what it is that they did or how did they overcome all these things we just talked about being a good girl, good wife, good whatever?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. In the book, which is obviously, the Clinton book is really stories about people to give you inspiration. The book I wrote really goes back to say, what is it, what are all the things that made us, each of us, who we are, and begin to look at things like the idea that the stereotype of what a little girl is was in our lives even before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our parents had ideas. I mean, I've been doing this and working with people around the world, and there's a wonderful woman from India who has a PhD. And she said to me, you know, Sylvia, I've worked really hard to get here because they didn't want a girl. You know,
yeah.
Girls were
yep.
unnecessary. And she said, I've spent my whole life proving that I'm as good as my brothers. So there is this piece of looking inside ourselves to say, what are the stories we've been told? What did we buy into? And then what can we release? What do we have to change so that we can speak out, be heard, and not be afraid of the consequences? Does that make sense?
Sure does. I love it. That could be the mantra.
Well, let me tell you, here's my mantra.
And go ahead.
It's go bigger, go bolder, go gutsy.
I love it. I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to have that on bumper stickers somewhere.
I like that. And speaking of bumper stickers, what a perfect segue. You wrote an article a couple I guess it was at the end of September is when it was published. I don't know when you wrote it. But it was a story about a client who was a coaching client with you. And he, I guess, was having a really, really bad day. And I love the story because it's just, it's so true for all of us. We all have those days that nothing ever goes right. And I'm just going to make it a synopsis of this, but it's, he just had things, everything happened wrong. Fender bender, spilled the coffee, tripped on the escalator, found out he lost the best client, all kinds of things like that. They just kept going on and on. And then what you said is, your response was, when stress is high and energy is low, you need some of my bumper stickers for the brain. You got to remember the following. Change is constant. Victims become victors. Winners never whine. Obstacles are opportunities, and stay the course. Now, we talked about this a little for a minute or two before we went on the air, and I said, this is wonderful because a lot of people would love to have things like that in their lives. Just the constant reminder that whatever you're going through is not permanent, and this is how you could get yourself out of that terrible space. So how do people get a free copy of Bumper Stickers for the Brain?
Yeah, it's actually a small book that mm-hmm. I wrote because I felt people needed. I actually did it for myself.
All right.
Yeah. So I read it. But, so it's a small book. And if people would like it as a free gift, they could email me at Sylvia with a Y, S-Y-L-V-I-A, at ceoptions.com. Our company, as you said, is Creative Energy Options, which is CEO for short, but it's CEOPTIONS.com. And I would be pleased to send a copy of it. It's good to keep around for those days. I thought when I got that email from that man, it was the funniest is when he said he tripped going on the up escalator. And he said, who the heck ever trips on an up escalator?
That's good. I didn't want to read that, but
I thought it was funny.
It is very funny. That's all good stuff. Okay, so tell us more about what inspired you to write the book, Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change.
Well, I've always been a curious kid, and I tend to have a bit of the rebel in me, and I would get in trouble because I would speak out. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand why. I have an older brother. He could say the same thing, and he didn't get the same kind of, pat on the head, be good, be quiet, be whatever it is. So I started to say, where did all of this come from? And what does it mean? What does it really mean to be gutsy? So I went back and I'm a researcher, and I started to do a lot of research about how, we were for a long time being told to be quiet and follow, or, in the ancient times, if you really spoke up, it was like, all right, into the woods, and you would not come out again. I mean, it could have been death. So we learned to be very serious, quiet people. But the world has changed. We've changed. I think it's exciting to see the changes that are here. And so being gutsy means understanding when where you are specifically, and when the things come at you where you feel like you may not respond. Why? What causes mm-hmm. that? And in the book, I have a technique. It's called the OUT technique, OUT, O-U-T. And it stands for the first thing you have to do is observe your behavior patterns. Observe them. Nothing else. That's pretty passive, but it's important. Just say, oh, in these situations I hold back, or in these situations I'll speak up. What's the difference? Then you have to understand. That's the U from OUT. So it's observe, understand where everything started. And we have to go back to childhood. And that's what my book does. It takes you back. And I have lots of questions to answer so you can get a really good understanding of where it happened. And then you have to do the strength training, which is transform, where you speak out. Now, look, there are more role models now than there ever have been. To speak out. There were some, Eleanor Roosevelt was incredible, and, mm-hmm. We have many, many people from the past, but now we're asking all women to stand up, speak out, and say there's an equality that we need to have for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the time has come with the Me Too movement and all kinds of things like that, where women are actually standing up and saying, I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, like I think of that wonderful, was the China Syndrome? Was that the movie where the guy stood up and started screaming out the window, I'm not going to take it anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of think that's what we need. We need that kind of wake-up call, because it's just, we're making too much progress on so many other levels, and it doesn't serve us to be quiet and stay in the background.
Well, here's what I've come up with, because I'm really into looking at connections and how everything gets connected. And as we held back, paradoxically, there's a lot of pressure on men to have to do, okay, even if they didn't want to. We're at a place where as women become more daring, and we are, and I know you have become more daring, and you have a great organization, and you're really helping women with an area that we were left out of for a long time with finances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I shouldn't even say this, but it is so funny. When I was younger and I had my first checking account, and I couldn't balance it, I almost dare not tell you this, but at the end of the month, after I couldn't, and it could be pennies, I would just cancel the account and start a new one.
Well, that's one way to handle it, isn't it?
I don't know if it's gutsy, but it works.
Oh, that's good.
I wouldn't do it now, but it is very funny. But the piece here is that as we become more daring, it gives men room to become more caring. And
true.
I'm watching the younger generations and men, you know, wheeling the baby carriages and burping their babies.
Yep.
You know, you're seeing more of that. So as we're more daring and men are more caring, here's my formula. Daring plus caring equals sharing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and that's where I think, so if you're not that gutsy, whoever's listening to this, it's not only good for your health, it's good for your relationship, and it's good for your children, it's good for wherever you work. Speaking out is important, and we need to be able to do it and find the communication so that we can talk to each other. I've been reading where they say women who meet with their female friends at least once or twice a week are healthier than women who don't. But it's also about helping the men. I don't want to leave them out. Mm-hmm. We can't just become gutsy and roll over these guys and say, get out of our way. We need to say, okay, what can we do differently? So therefore, what can you do differently?
And on that note, we're going to have to wrap it up here and take a break. Sylvia, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
Okay, best way would be to email Sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A, at ceoptions.com.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us. And you're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
Business banking at Fidelity.
Universal Printing started out in Northeast Pennsylvania in June of 1995. Since that time, we have grown to 155 employees. What we do, we're a document solutions business. We do printing. We have an IT department on site. There's computer programmers, developers, production people. So all of our IT is done in-house. The nature of our business is it is very capital intensive. What we continue to do is adapt to the needs of our customers. And in order to do that, we have to continue to invest in the best state-of-the-art equipment that's out there. And we can do that with the support of Fidelity Bank. Fidelity allows us to play on a playing field that we could never have played on if we didn't have the support of a strong local bank that believed in us. They're not just saying they support the community, they're doing it. And we feel really blessed to have a partner in Fidelity Bank.
I'm Dr. Nicole DeNova. Since VREC opened its doors in 2010, we've treated over 30,000 patients, including the puppy whose curiosity led him to a porcupine and the police canine who was just doing his job. VREC is located at 318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit and is open 24/7 for your pet peace of mind. To learn more about us, visit VRECPA.com or call 570-587-7777.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the financial planning needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, and that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And my comrade, Ms. Cadden, is vacationing this week, so you got me. And we are with my friend, who is also a wonderful expert on Medicare, Gwen Sherrick Elberson, who is, as she says, a Medicare guru and business development queen for the Boomer Health Group, which serves the entire United States, I might also add. And if Laurie were here, she would say something similar. Full disclosure, Gwen is the one who did all the work for me for my own Medicare program and continues to do so. So welcome, Gwen.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so happy you're with us today because this is such a timely topic. And I want to reference an article that was written by your cohort, Joanne Giardini-Russell. It was on 60andMe, which is a wonderful website for anybody listening who would like to know more about baby boomer women and all the wonderful things we need to know. So I reference this to Gwen because there were some very important tips that Joanne came up with that I really think are things people need to know about. And the tip number one was know that there are two choices. And I don't think anybody that you can ask on the street, so to speak, would really understand or know the difference between these two concepts of what kind of Medicare programs exist. Would you please enlighten us?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So when it comes to Medicare, we know that when you turn 65, you are eligible to be on Medicare. If that scenario works out for you and you choose to go on Medicare at 65, which, by the way, little caveat, you do not have to. There are some certain situations where you do not have to go on Medicare. But if you are eligible and you decide to go on Medicare, A&B pays for 80%. Well, who covers that 20%? That's up to you. And there's two options to be able to cover that 20%, which from, unfortunately, the media and a lot of things, all the mailers that these baby boomers are getting, it's really just representing one side of the coin, and there are actually two. And they're very different supplements, and they function completely differently. And we just want everybody to be aware that they have a choice. And there are very important questions that you need to ask yourself before you just go out and sign up for something because it sounds good or your neighbor has it or your doctor said it pays great. It really needs to be specified to you.
Okay. And the difference is Medigap or yes. Medicare Advantage.
Correct.
What does it mean?
Medigap. Medigap is an insurance policy. It is through a private carrier. It is signified by being a premium every month, okay? So it's a private contract you have with a carrier. And with the Medigap comes a lot more freedom when you're talking about your health care. It doesn't have networks. So I would say everybody under 65 on Marketplace or group health insurance is used to networks, right? You have to go in within these doctors. Used to copays, yeah. You pay $30 here to go to the doctor, $50 for a specialist. Referrals, you need to get a referral here, referral there. Physical therapy, you're limited. You have a knee replacement and you need 30 sessions, but your insurance says you can only have 12 sessions. What I'm explaining, basically, under 65 care and Medicare Advantage are basically the same thing. Oh. So that is everything Medigap is not. No network, no referrals. You can go anywhere in the United States. Any doctor that takes Medicare will take your supplement. You can go to MD Anderson. You can go to the Cleveland Clinic. You can go to the Mayo Clinic. It doesn't matter. So for snowbirds,
yeah,
this is absolutely a fabulous product. It's just something that you need to ask yourself. Do I want to stay with a managed care scenario?
Because the difference between Medigap and Medicare Advantage also is monetary. You will pay a monthly premium. Usually if you're turning 65, I'm going to just really generalize this. Nobody take this to heart. Don't hold me to it. if you're just turning 65 and you're going to get a Medigap supplement, believe it or not, it's based on your zip code, your gender, and whether you are tobacco or non-tobacco, much like property and casualty.
Wow.
I know it seems kind of counterproductive being your health care, but it is the insurance business and that's how they tend to do it. So your premiums for a Medigap policy, and the best policy out there right now is a Plan G as in George. There are a lot of people that have a Plan F as in Frank and C as in Charlie, and they are absolutely fantastic plans. But there will be no new business going into those plans in 2020, and that's a whole other topic we can spend an hour on. So the best, just know that the best plan out there right now is a Plan G. G is in George.
Okay.
And your premiums for that are going to run anywhere from $115 to $150. I know that's a lot. It's kind of it's a big median there, but it just depends where you are in the United States, too, what your zip code is. So I'd say that's going to be safe. To say 115 to 150. So then, if you're a person that loves to plan your finances and your health care and figure out what fits, Medigap lets you plan because you know you have that premium every month. And then with the Plan G, you are also responsible for $185 out of pocket per year before it starts paying 100%.
That's your deductible? It's only $185?
Correct. Yeah,
wow.
I say that and people are like, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Yeah,
exactly.
$185 out of your pocket and then zero. Travel. Now, not internationally. If you travel internationally, you get a hold of me and that's a whole other conversation.
Okay.
But contiguous United States, travel, go to see any doctor you want. If you have an emergency, this is huge. We have a lot of stories like this. One person stepped on a toothpick. In Florida, snowbird, happened to be on a Medicare Advantage plan, right? So she went to the emergency room, and they did not deem it an emergency. So she had to pay out-of-network costs for that, okay? Because Medicare Advantage plans are very regional. So I will throw out there to any snowbird, if you are traveling and you have a Medicare Advantage plan, you really want to go through that with a fine-tooth comb.
To see
what you could possibly run into. So she stepped on this toothpick, not an emergency, paid out a network cost. Well, it ended up getting infected.
Ooh.
And she had to go back. And then they had to do, I think she had to get an IV of antibiotics. It was really bad. I don't know if she had staph. I'm not sure exactly the details. The only details I know is she ended up with a $10,000 bill.
Oh.
So these things are very, very important to pay attention to. So Medigap fits for snowbirds fantastically. It fits for anybody that wants to plan for their care. Now, the Medicare Advantage, like I said, is managed care. The government pays all of these companies, these insurance carriers, to manage your care. So every insurance company that is managing a Medicare person's care is getting paid about $1,000 from the government. Now, with that being said, they also get your copays. They also get your coinsurance. They also charge for things like cancer drugs and things like that are not covered very well under Medicare Advantage. But you can get zero premium plans, which there are some people out there that just, they don't want to pay for their health care. They're over it. They're done. And as long as they know the risk, maybe they don't travel. Maybe they stay, you know, I live in Michigan. So maybe they just stay right in Michigan and it's not even a concern to them. So you can see that each one has their place. I'm not saying one is bad, one is good. One to me is a much better coverage, but it really comes down to what that person wants.
Well, let me just do the math because I'm going to play the financial planner here. Okay.
Oh, yes. Please
okay.
Do.
So the Medigap, you know what your premium is, and you know you got $185 deductible.
Yes.
Medicare Advantage, you've got, let's say, no premium, but you've got out-of-pocket expenses of up to $4,300 a year.
Oh, and I would add to that, Lynn, if you get a zero, there's so many different plans. You can get a different max out-of-pocket, much like under 65. You know, if you have a higher deductible, you don't have a premium. If you pay a little higher premium, you might have a little less max out-of-pocket. And then some of those charges in between may vary a little bit. Maybe it's $40 instead of $30 to see your doctor. I call it the a la carte menu, actually.
Okay.
It's like buying off the a la carte menu, which is great if you only have a couple things.
Yes.
But if you bought your entire dinner off the a la carte menu,
yeah,
that would be very expensive.
Yes, I was just going to say, it'd be way over the price.
Right. And then if you look at the Medigap, so let's make a little analogy here. This is good. The Medigap is like the special. You know exactly what you're getting.
Yes.
You get your steak, your baked potato, your vegetable, a dessert.
Salad and dessert.
Salad, and it is $14.99.
Yeah.
And you know it.
Yes.
So you're good. So really what it comes down to is they're just really two completely different products that people don't understand. Medicare Advantage is pushed much more by the media and the government, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what most people know about. It's also called Part C. So if you hear anybody say, oh, it's Part C, that's Medicare Advantage.
Okay.
Another difference is drugs are included with the Medicare Advantage plan, whereas with a Medigap plan, you have to get a separate drug plan called a Part D.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a big deal. You have two cards instead of one. Here are the caveats to that. With a Medicare Advantage, whatever Medicare Advantage plan you choose, you really need to make sure whatever prescriptions you are on are covered well by that plan.
Because if they're not, then what?
It varies. Well, then you're going to be paying a lot of money for your prescriptions.
Okay.
So you are really kind of pigeonholed to that Medicare Advantage plan. And if they make a decision that they're not going to cover your meds anymore, then they're not going to cover your meds anymore. There's nothing you can do. So whereas with a Medigap, you have to have the separate Part B. What that allows you to do is it allows you to shop. I think in Michigan, there's 29 plans. Pennsylvania was upwards of 70 plans, I think.
Wow.
So you type in the meds, and Lynn, we can talk about this. I think we did this for you.
We did.
You type in the meds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You type in the meds. I just put it in my engine, my quoting engine. I want the least out-of-pocket per year for the best coverage for this person. And it just, boom, gives me an entire list.
Yep.
So then I know you're getting the best coverage for the best price.
Okay, so we've got about 2 minutes left here. Tip number two, pre-existing conditions do matter in Medicare land. What does that mean?
They do, and I'm going to do this quickly. You hear all the time, if you don't like your plan, you can just change. Well, that is true to a point. If you get in a Medicare Advantage plan and you get sick and you say, I'm spending too much money, I want to go to that Medigap. Well, if you've already gone past your 65th birthday and you're in that plan, you now have to go through medical underwriting to get a Medigap plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're being treated for anything chronic or depending on the underwriters, you may not get approved. So it's not that easy. We just want people to know it's not that easy. The media and everybody makes it. You can just change. Just change whenever you want.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Yes, to a point. To a point. You know, it's like guilty by omission.
Mm-hmm.
These details are what really makes or breaks people. And it's really important to know them.
Okay. So, Gwen, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to our website, www.boomerhealthgroup.com, and they can hop on any one of our guru calendars and schedule a consultation. What we would really love them to do in Radio Land is go to www.B as in boy, H, G as in George, vault, like a bank vault.com. We're really proud of this. It's something that's proprietary to us. If you want to know anything about Medicare, go to the BHG Vault, and you will find it. There's videos. There's stories. There's blogs. There's anything. It's free. You don't have to pay for anything. You can sign up to get on our database, but you don't have to. It's not like we're not going to let you in if you don't. So that is a huge piece to the puzzle, and we really, really hope that everybody can take a look at it.
That sounds great. Gwen Sharik-Albertson, thank you so much for being a guest on my show, our show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.